for your goodness and your mercies over our lives. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for all that you are doing in this generation. Thank you that you have called out a group of people and you have put your fire in us so that we will intercede and pray that your will shall be done as it is in heaven. In this gathering, let your name be glorified. In this gathering, make us transformers. In this gathering, make us torchbearers. In this gathering, ignite our passion for your will to be done. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So I want to welcome all of you. I want to be sure you are all here. And so I can only see Frederick. I can't see anyone. I can't see Albert. I can't see Rosina. I can't see Kafi. I can only see Fred.
Papa,
so, please, we are here. I'm here.
I can hear you.
We can.
But I can't see you. I bet I can hear you, but I can't see.
I'm also Eunice, here.
You're welcome. I can. Rosina, I can
Thank
hear you.
Thank you, Papa.
All right. But I can't see you. Okay, so in the next few minutes, I want us to pray. Like I said earlier, I want us to spend some 45 minutes here, so it means that we are closing at 10:45. And I want us to really pay attention to some of the few things we are going to discuss here. And I trust that God will use it, make it a blessing to all of us. So I want to thank all of you for making time for this very important meeting. So, where do I begin from? I want to talk to you briefly about the ministry of intercession. But before that, I want us to pray. Just pray in tongues for just 2 minutes. Lift your voice and pray in the language of the Holy Spirit for just 2 minutes. Le barada bashanda la babo rabaka la balaba le ani babo ndoro shaba la 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 bahaya
ganza ya da balika da rande de de yani ono ganza ya da balika da babo ganza ya da la la yande balika yande de bosa de li da bayande
Mandala Bazi Malabali Kadala Vali Vala Bagada Vala Bagada Vala
Bagada
Alleluia,
my God,
Lemazon tonomo
So, as I said, I want to talk to you briefly about the power or the ministry of intercession. As we're praying, the Lord laid on my heart to share with you something personal about my life. I may have shared on some platform, but I think this will be the first time probably I'm sharing this. When I was in the university, some 15 years back, I remember that I had a certain love and passion for prayer, so much that those days were the days where we will decide not to eat and drink until we see the power of God working in our lives. I remember that I decided to enter the Achimota Forest, where the forestry commission is. I went with a certain brother of mine, and together we entered the forest for 3 days and three nights. And all that we were doing was to tap power from God. We prayed, we didn't have torches, we didn't go with a bed. All we wanted to do was that the 3 days we would pray for 72 hours. Praying for 72 hours. So we entered the forest on Friday. We returned from the forest on Sunday. And we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. We prayed. We were hungry for God. We were thirsty for something beyond the natural. And we put away every distraction, every phone. Everything was placed aside so that we could contact that supernatural dimension we're looking forward to. At the time we returned from that trip and came back to campus, I remember this young boy came around me. I mean, the two of us were sitting there. We were sitting on a bench around the James McKeown Auditorium of Pentecost University at the time. And whilst we were talking, we had returned from the forest, and this young man came around, and the guy was paralyzed. The guy was paralyzed. He couldn't stand. He had gone to step on something. Those of us in Africa, we know that when we say he has gone to step on something, you understand what it means. He had gone to step on some things, and the guy was paralyzed. And I remember we didn't pray for him. I remember I asked him to sit down, because I was having a conversation with this brother of mine. So I put my hand on the thigh of this guy whilst I continued chatting with my friend on the other side. Before I realized, the guy had stood on his feet and he started walking without prayer. Then I came to a certain realm of understanding that there is a certain realm when you attain. It's not about screaming. It's not about shouting. It's not about grammar. It's not about the school you attended. It's not about your age. It's not about how old you are. It's not about your experience. There's a certain realm when you attain, everything responds to your presence and to your words. Everything. Now, if you are here in this meeting, anybody who is not able to join, apart from Abigail, anybody who is not able to join this meeting cannot be part of the prayer force. And I may look a bit harsh, but that is what it is. Because of where we are going to, the next level, the next dimension demands a certain kind of people. Now, gone were the days in Drasso in the year 2012. I was in the room and the Lord said, Emmanuel, tomorrow you are going to wake up at 4:30 and you are going to enter into a place of prayer. Now, at exactly 4:30, I was already AM, 4:30 AM, I was already in the church auditorium and I started praying. 4:30, I was praying. 5:30, I was praying. 6:30 in the morning, I was still praying, 2 hours gone. 7:30, I was praying. 8:30, I was praying. 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30 p.m., I was still praying. 1:30, 2:30, 3:30 p.m., I was still praying. 4:30, 5:30 p.m., I was still praying. 6:30 p.m., I was still praying. 7:30 p.m., I was still praying. At 7:30 p.m., that was when I said amen to the prayers I was praying. And by the time I stepped out of the chapel, it was dark. So when I was entering, it was dark. When I was coming out, it was dark. From 4:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. is how many hours? It's how many hours? Somebody do the calculation for me. It's how many hours? Because 15. How many?
About 15.
15 hours. So I prayed. I didn't sing songs. I didn't do worship. Immediately I entered, I sat down on the floor and I started praying. I prayed and prayed and prayed. By the time I was coming out, I had prayed for 15 hours. If you are here in this meeting, God is calling you to a new dimension of prayer life. God is calling you to a new ministry called the ministry of intercession. If you are here in this meeting, you are part of the people God has assigned me to raise in this end time and generation to move into a new realm of intercession and prayer. Maybe you have prayed more than I. It's not about the hours of prayer, but it's about the quality of time spent with God. It's not just about the hours of prayer. It's about the quality of time that we have spent with God. And so, I am trusting God that after here, somebody will not just pray for 15 hours like I did, but my prayer is that somebody will be in prayer for months. Somebody will be in prayer for weeks. You'll be in prayer for months. That is my prayer. So we have met here this evening as intercessors to intercede and pray into what God is about to do. And I am happy that you are part of the army God is raising in this end time. Your prayer life is about to ascend to a new realm. Gone were the days before I mount the pulpit to preach. He tell me that, Ima, I want you to preach. The least number of hours I should pray before I mount the pulpit will be 3 hours. The least number of hours I must pray before I mount the pulpit will be 3 hours. And the 3 hours I am praying and praying into the preaching and praying, because a prepared man is better than a prepared sermon. So if you yourself, you are not prepared, there is no life in you to give. Now, in this meeting, I am intentionally talking or teaching because I want us to now reposition our minds. For those of us who have joined for the first time, this is not our first time of meeting. We meet every Monday at 10 p.m. to pray. Now, this evening, let me take you through the ministry of intercession. So I want you to make sure you are writing something. And make sure that you are writing something. Make sure you are putting some things down. First of all, I want us to read from Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. The book of Colossians, chapter number 4, verse 12. And I want Eunice Asumedu Akoto Ansah to read for us from the book of Colossians, chapter number 4, verse 12. Intercession, talking about the ministry of intercession. The okay. Ministry
I read
of
from.
Intercession.
Amen. I'm yeah. reading from the King James Version, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Amen.
Amen. So, when it comes to intercession, one of my definitions of intercession is Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. And as my sister read, there's a name that has been mentioned in scripture. And the name of this man is Epaphras. Epaphras was an intercessor. I want you to put your name there tonight. Tonight is not Epaphras. I want you to put your name there. So, if your name is Eunice, put Eunice there. If your name is Fred, you put your name there. All right? So, Frederick, Emmanuel, who is one of you? Eunice, who is one of you? A servant of Christ Jesus greets you. Always laboring. This version says struggling. Struggling on your behalf in prayer that you may stand, all right, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. But I like the King James better. I like the King James better. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. I want to read from my Bible here. It says that Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently. So intercession is when you labor fervently for someone in prayer. That is intercession. Intercession is when you labor fervently in prayer for somebody. That is what we call intercession. And the purpose of intercession is so that the people will stand perfect and complete in the will of God. So you are praying fervently, you are laboring fervently in prayer for them, so that they will stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Now, we have decided that every 10 p.m. we will pray for Emmanuel Ochodako and pray for his ministry and pray for healing room and all of that, so that he may stand perfect and complete in the will of God, so that he will stand mature and fully assured, complete in the will of God. So if you are not fervently laboring in prayer, you are not interceding. If you are not laboring fervently in prayer for somebody, you are not interceding. So intercession is when somebody is laboring fervently in prayer for someone, so that they may stand perfect and complete in the will of God for somebody. All right? When you are interceding, you are exercising control. I always tell one of my sons here that anytime, anything you have not prayed about, you don't have control over. Anything you have not prayed about, you don't have control over. So intercession is a way of exercising control or influence over something. So when you are interceding, you are exercising influence and control. So I realize that healing room can never be healing room until there is a group of people, young men and young women, who have decided to intercede for healing room. That is why I tag some of us to watch this video interview by Apostle James Kawalia, because then you come to appreciate some of these things we are talking about. So anytime you are interceding, you are exercising control. I always tell people that even if you are traveling and you pray, you have exercised influence and control over your journey. Don't take anything for chance or give anything for granted. We shouldn't think that the anointing is there, the prophet is there, so because of that, anytime we mount the pulpit or the microphone, the anointing of God will start moving. It doesn't work like that. There must be intentional effort to exercise control and influence over the whole thing we are doing. Are we together? And the shocking thing is that intercession is the only ministry without an office. There are fivefold ministry offices. We have the office of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, evangelist, the teacher. But you don't see intercessor in that list. So it means that intercessors do not have an office. So if you want to be an apostle, if you want to be a prophet or whatever, if you want to carry titles, then you cannot be an intercessor, because intercessors are not looking for titles. Intercessors are not looking for ordination. Intercessors do not want to be known. Intercessors don't want to be seen. Intercessors do not want everybody to know they are around. All they know is to make sure their knees are bruised. If your knees are not bruised, then what you are kneeling on is too comfortable. If your knees are not bruised in the place of prayer, then what you are kneeling on is too comfortable. So intercessors have bruises, and their bruises are all attained in the place of prayer. So they pray until the will of God is done. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 10. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 10. The Bible talks about another angle of intercession. When Jesus was teaching about prayer, he said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Intercession is enforcing the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Anytime we are praying that the will of God should be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we are interceding. So intercession is not about your will, it's about the will of God. Intercession is not about your will, it's not about the will of the group, it's about the will of God. So we are praying and enforcing the will of God to be done. That is intercession. That is intercession. Am I talking to somebody here? So there in the Bible, there are a lot of intercessors. Abraham was an intercessor. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 7 and 8 and verse 17 and 18, the Bible said that Abraham had visited Abimelech with his wife Sarah. Now Sarah was too beautiful. And Abraham told Sarah that when we go, tell them that you are my sister so that they will not kill me and take you away from me, so that my life will be spared. And when they asked, Sarah said, oh, Abraham is my brother. Abraham says, oh, Sarah is my sister. And the king took Sarah. But in the night, the Lord visited the king and said, you are a dead man. Return the man's wife to him because he's a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. And when you read verse 17 of Genesis chapter 20, the Bible says that Abraham prayed to God for Abimelech, and God healed him and healed Abimelech's wife and all the female slaves so that they will bear children. Why? He said that for the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So an intercessor is always making sure that they are praying for someone. So Abraham was an intercessor. Somebody like Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9, Samuel was also an intercessor. At the point when the people were not ready to go to war, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9, the people were not ready to go to war. So they prayed to Samuel and told Samuel to intercede for them. So when you read 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9, the Bible says that when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it as a burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. And the Lord answered him. And the Lord answered him. So you see, intercessors are always standing in the gap between God and other people. Tonight, how many of us want to be intercessors for EOD? How many of us want to be intercessors? Because God wants you to stand in the gap. And God will hear you when you cry out to him. God is looking for people who will sacrifice. He says that, and Samuel picked a lamb and offered it as a burnt offering. So it means that intercession is sacrifice. Intercession is sacrifice. If you are not ready to sacrifice, you can't intercede. That is why not everybody can be part of this group. Not everybody can be a member of this group because not everyone can sacrifice. Not everyone. Not everyone. Now, I want to mention the seven understandings of intercession. And I want to write them down. The seven understandings of intercession. I'm going to mention them very quickly, then we'll begin to pray for the next 10 minutes or so. Then I'll tell you what is there ahead of us, and we'll see what God will do. Am I blessing somebody? See, anytime God starts revealing things about people to you, God starts revealing things about your church, God starts revealing things about your family, about your wife, about your husband, about your children, about Ghana and your nation. God start revealing. What it means is that God wants you to be an intercessor. God wants you to come to the place of intercession. God wants you to exercise control and turn things around and enforce his will to be done on earth. All right? So I want you to just take note of these seven understandings of what intercession is. Number one, intercession is a highly consecrated calling by God. Intercession is a highly consecrated calling by God. Understand that every one of you here who has joined us tonight, it is not Emmanuel who has called you. It is not EOD who has called. It is God who has called you. And it is a highly consecrated calling. It's a sacred calling. It's a calling not for everybody. It's a calling for few. So God has set you apart that he would want to raise you and put some fire in you. Tonight, God is going to pluck some fire and plant this fire in your spirit. You will never be comfortable until you have prayed. And God will fire you up tonight, and anyone that comes around you will literally feel the fire. And when people come around you, they will start praying. When people come around you, the desire and the hunger for God will just come. You see, this is a holy calling. Understand that it is not a man that has invited you to come on Zoom. It is God who has called you. Understand that what we are going to do, or what we have already started doing and what we are doing, is a calling. It's a calling. Just like somebody is called into a ministry of the prophet, the ministry of the apostle, this work is a calling, and it is God who has called you. So if God is calling, will you answer? Will you pay the price? Are you ready to obey the voice? That is the question I have for you. Are you sure that when we meet at 10, we are meeting at 10, you will not come at 10:30? Are you sure when we decide to do something, you will give yourself to it? Anytime you become the odd one out, then you are breaking the covenant, and you are breaking the agreement. You are allowing the devil to come in. Anytime you are the odd one out, then you become a suspect. Look at every group. People who are the odd ones out are always people who cause trouble. Look at the 12 apostles of Jesus. The only odd one, all of them were Jews. It was only Judas Iscariot who was something else. And he was the only one who betrayed Jesus. So you need to understand that when you become the odd one out, then you are called back. Know that it is God who has called you. God has called all of us. Are we together? As I sit here, I am also an intercessor for somebody. I will come there and I'll talk about it. The second understanding I want you to have is that intercession, and I want you to write it down. Intercession is a ministry without an office. That is the second one. Intercession is a ministry without an office. It's a ministry. When we say ministry, ministry means work. It means service. So it means that God is calling you to serve. God is giving you a ministry. You have a new ministry. Some of you, all the dreams you have had, all the revelations, and God has brought you here because the revelations must come to pass. Everything is pointing to the fact that he has given you a new ministry. And this ministry, it is a ministry without an office, so nobody will know you. Nobody will see you, but you are the people who are causing the move. You are the movers and the shakers and the commanders. When you are an intercessor, you are a mover. When you are an intercessor, you are a shaker. Huh. You are the commander who causes things to be. People will not know, but they don't know that. You see, when we talk about David, David was mighty. And it is said that he never lost a battle. Not because David was too powerful, but David had some mighty men. It was the mighty men of David who made David become David. It was not just because of David. David had mighty men. And these mighty men, the way the Bible describes them is amazing. So make sure that embrace this one as a ministry. Take it. This is your ministry. Henceforth, you are a minister. And what is your ministry? You are an intercessor. Number three, intercession is beyond words of prayer. Intercession is beyond words of prayer. You see, when you are an intercessor, like all of us are together intercessors, when you start praying for me and praying for me and praying for me and all of that, understand that the intercession does not end when you say amen to the prayer. When you say amen on Zoom, your intercession does not stop. I'm not saying that when you are asleep, you should be praying. And I'm not saying that when you are walking about, be opening your mouth and praying all the time, even though you can do it. But what I'm trying to say is that when you are an intercessor, every aspect of your life has a way of influencing the one you are interceding for. So because you are an intercessor, you can't live anyhow. You can't live anyhow because intercession is beyond words. It's beyond words. So when you are speaking, you are interceding. When you are insulting somebody on the road, you may remember that what you are doing will have influence on the one you have been interceding for. When you are stealing company money, remember that it will have influence on the one you are interceding for. If you are not submitting you to your husband, if you are not loving your wife, it means that it will have influence on the one you are interceding for. So intercession goes beyond the words. It goes beyond the amen we say after the prayer. So you can't live anyhow. That is why I'm saying that not everybody can be part of this group. It is a life of sacrifice. Because you know that somebody's ministry depends on you. Somebody's prophetic destiny depends on you. And there are many people, many thousands of people whose destinies are connected to this man. So when you fall, you are making the man fall, and you are making other people also fall. So you can't live anyhow because of who you are and what you are in the eyes of God. In John chapter 11, verse 32, when Lazarus died, I remember that there was a profound statement made by one of the sisters. He said to Jesus that, "Sir, if you were here, my brother would not have died." Mary, he said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." It means that even the lady believed that the presence alone of Jesus could have stopped the man from dying. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. It means that when you become an intercessor, where you are at every point in time even matters. You can't be everywhere. God, there are places when you go, you defile yourself. There are places you can't go. There are some music you cannot keep listening to them and still remain an intercessor. There are some movies you can't continue to watch when you have become an intercessor. Because an intercessor must have clean eyes to see into the spirit. And we should never pray, and after the prayer, we will never get one or two or three people telling us what God revealed to them in prayer. It shouldn't happen that after we have prayed, we didn't get anybody here telling us the Lord said. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. Number four, the fourth understanding. Intercessors are motivated by the will of God. That one you can write Matthew 6:10. Intercessors are motivated by the will of God. Number five, intercessors know that, and just listen to this one before you write. Intercessors know that the more committed they are to someone, God raises someone to stay committed to them. The more committed they are to someone, God raises someone to stay committed to them. And this one is a spiritual law. It's like God cannot be mocked. The seed you sow is what you reap. Anything you sow, you reap. When you you commit yourself to interceding for someone, God raises somebody somewhere to also intercede for you. And today, I think somebody was telling me that sometimes even people you don't know, even people you are not thinking about, they will call you and they will tell you, I'm praying for you. Like today, I had a call from a certain mother figure. We spoke for almost 1 hour and she was telling me, I've been praying for you. Anytime I pray, I mention your name in prayer. And I was amazed. So, and you see, the more you commit yourself to interceding for somebody, God also raises people who will come around and intercede for you. Yeah. Number 6. Intercessors must have genuine love and compassion for those they intercede for. That's the 6th one. Intercessors must have genuine love and compassion for those they intercede for. Our time is almost up. So if you are interceding for somebody, don't just intercede, but you should love the person. You should have some compassion for the person. Yeah. So I believe that everybody here loves me. And I believe everybody has a certain compassion for me. And it's not just because of me. It's because you love God. And you have a certain compassion for the will of God to be done on earth. Yeah. And I thank God that I love you all too. I pray for all of you. I pray for today. I picked a list. I have a tall list of people I pray for. I mentioned their names in prayer like that in prayer. Paul said, I make mention of thee in prayer. And so it's very important that when you are praying for somebody, you should love the person, you should have compassion. The 7th one is that intercession demands a lifestyle of purity and prayer. Intercession demands a lifestyle of purity and prayer. I've talked about it already. So when you are an intercessor, you cannot live anyhow. You cannot be having unforgiveness in your heart. You cannot be keeping bitterness. You cannot be always angry at people. You cannot be fornicating around. You cannot be drinking around. You cannot be doing some things because you are an intercessor. And you have to be prayerful. You have to come before God with an open heart. And then intercessors, you have to be prayerful. You have to be prayerful. You have to be praying and praying and praying. Then the final one I want to add, the 8th one, is that intercession is a hedged network. And this one, I want us to read Job chapter 1, verse 10, and I'll be done. Intercession is a hedged network. Job, the book of Job, chapter 1. And I want Eunice to read this one for us from the King James version of the Bible. Intercession is a hedged network. I want us to read Job chapter number 1, verse 9. Let's read verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9 and verse 10. So, Eunice, you are muted. I think you can unmute and read for us. Job 1, verse 9 and 10. And that's the last thing.
Yes, please. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Job. Okay. Job chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. His substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all. Amen.
Amen.
Please, do I end here?
Yeah, it's okay. I just wanted us to look at the hedge. It says that Job had a hedge around him, and he had a hedge around his house, and he had a hedge around everything that he had. Is that in your Bible as well? So you realize that when you become an intercessor, like as we are in a group now, we are big. David's mighty men were the hedge around David. And if any of them fell out, then you were going to become a problem. That is why when Judas Iscariot was taken out, there needed to be a replacement so that that hedge or that network would be reconnected. Are we together? So that is why they didn't leave it blank. But when Judas Iscariot fell out, they brought in Matthias to replace him so that the hedge will be brought back again. So God has formed a hedge. And the secret is that when you intercede, you yourself, you generate a certain hedge around you yourself. And that hedge is generated by Fel, generated by Eunice, generated by Albert, generated by Fred, Kafui, Noble, Rosina, myself. That hedge is all around everyone individually. And so when we come together, oh my God, we become a force to be reckoned with. And nothing that we decide to do, there's nothing we decide to do we can't do. That one, you can find it in the book of, I think, where is that one? There is nothing you decide to do that you can't do. I think Genesis 11, am I right? Yeah, Genesis 11. The Lord said that the people are one. They have one language. And this thing they begin to do, nothing they propose to do will be impossible for them. So, the next 5 minutes, I want us to pray. We are praying for ourselves. This time, we are not praying for EOD. Tonight, we are not praying for EOD. But we are praying for you. You yourself, you are praying that God, anything I have done in the past, forgive me, cleanse me. You are praying that. And this is the only prayer topic. When we start praying, I will not bring any prayer topic again. So take notes. Anything I have done in the past, whatever I said, whatever I did, forgive me. Cleanse me with your blood. Number two, you have been that any word that was spoken over your life when you were a baby, when you were in mother's womb, till when you were born, when you went to school, when you started working, till date, whatever somebody has said, even the words you yourself you spoke, which is influencing any aspect of your life, your marriage, whatever, you are praying that the fire of God will purge you tonight. And you are praying that tonight, may God remove any idol from your heart. Anything that is ungodly, may God purge you tonight. And may God bring back fresh fire for prayer, fresh hunger, fresh power, fresh desire for God. As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. You are praying that may God bring back that freshness. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we repent of all our weaknesses, our sins, whatever we have done, whatever we have said, any words that were spoken even before we were born, generational words, generational influences, whatever has been haunting us, what the mistakes we have done, knowingly and unknowingly, directly and indirectly, anything in our bloodline that is influencing our marriage, our prayer life, our ministry, and whatever concern, tonight, by the reason of the blood, we declare we are free from those things. We break those curses and we renounce those words. In the name of Jesus, we speak, oh God, tonight, that the blood of Jesus will cleanse us and wash us. We come with our open hearts. The Lord, we are ready to stand in the gap and to pray your will, like Epaphras, like Samuel, like Abraham. We are ready to stand in the gap. Bring back the fire. Pluck the fire into our spirit. Plant the fire in our heart. Amen. The fire to love. The fire to be compassionate. The fire to be pure. Amen. The fire to pray. The fire to intercede. Until the will of God is done on earth. Father, we pray. Make us true intercessors. Oh, may we pray for hours. May we pray for days. May we pray for weeks and months. May we never be tired of your presence. And from this evening, let everyone here tonight have a new fresh oil, fresh dimension of your touch. Let everyone testify that it is good we sacrifice for this meeting. We give you praise. And now receive that fresh anointing. Receive that impartation. Receive that fire. And receive that glory. May your ministry take a new level and a new turn. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.